In Revelation chapter 8, we come to the sounding of the trumpets. We've had the breaking of the seven seals, and now the seven trumpets appear, and soon we'll have the seven bowls or seven vials out of which will be poured the wrath of God. I'm sure you've already noticed, and you'll note still more, in the breaking of the seals, the sounding of the trumpets, great cataclysmic upheavals, nature. Let's read from verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. The third part of trees was burnt up. All the green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. The third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. It fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of the waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. Third part of the moon, the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe! Woe! Woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the three angels which are yet to sound. Verses 7 through 13. Catastrophic upheavals, cataclysmic upheavals. Two verses, the Word of God, to which I call your attention. Matthew chapter 19. And then Acts chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration. Now I'm reading that passage of Scripture to enforce upon your thinking the word regeneration. In the regeneration. When the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Now in Acts chapter 3, another word comparable to this one. Acts chapter 3, Peter presenting the gospel again to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, called upon them in the 19th verse of this third chapter, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now note, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Read on. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In that 21st verse, I call your attention to the expression, the times of restitution of all things. I'm sure that you appreciate the fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And as we read in Isaiah 45:18, we read that God Almighty did not create the heavens and the earth waste and void. He created perfect. He created beautiful. He created to be inhabited. It became waste and void. Now, you're familiar with the establishment of the Garden of Eden. John Milton rendered some of those thoughts immortal to the secular mind by his works, Paradise Lost, then the sequel, Paradise Regained. From the beginning of the prophets to the end, they speak of paradise, so-called, being lost, and paradise being regained. We speak of the coming millennial reign of our Lord, and all things will be restored to the condition they had before the flood. When hothouse conditions will prevail around the world, carnivorous appetites of animals, including man, shall be gone. Perfect peace shall reign. Ideal conditions prevail. What we're reading in the Revelation, the breaking of the seals, the sounding of the trumpets, the pouring out of the vials of the wrath of God, I say what we're witnessing there are the cataclysmic upheavals which are going to change the physical condition of the earth and the heavens to bring back into existence once again the conditions that will prevail during the millennium. In the establishment of the heavens and the earth, after they had become waste and void, we read of God Almighty putting a canopy of water above the earth, separating that from the earth by a series of the heavens. We know the conditions as they prevailed in Eden were such that the temperature at the North Pole and the South Pole comparable to that of the equator. Many animals have been found frozen in the far reaches of the north, their bodies intact. Some have been found with straw and grass in their mouths, showing that the grass grew there and that the conditions prevailed there, even as in the temperate and the equatorial zone. No doubt you've read of the Grasshopper Glacier coming down from the north, filled with grasshoppers that were frozen at that time, showing conditions that prevailed there were temperate. During those days, there was that canopy of water high above the earth, completely encircling the earth. That canopy of water diffused the rays of the sun so that light conditions prevailed around the world about the same. That canopy of water likewise diffused the heat rays so that temperature around the whole of the earth was about the same. But there came a day when things upon the earth displeased God to the extent that He would send the flood to destroy all flesh from off the face of the earth, except those who accepted His provision of safety. Some of the conditions prevailing within the canopy that was circled earth no wind. Death and the rays of the sun were filtered out. Longevity of life was such that human life approximated 1,000 years. With the coming of the flood, brought about by man's sins, we're told in the Word of God that the sin and curse of this earth as sinners of God disturbed him so that it repented him that he had made man. So in his eternal purpose he would destroy man by the floods of water. To produce the flood, he opened the windows of heaven. He allowed or permitted or caused that canopy of water completely encircling the earth to come upon the earth. So great was that canopy of water upon the earth. The water covered the entire earth. Above the highest mountain, 15 cubits. Above the highest mountain. With the coming of that water upon the face of the earth, there was taken away that agency of water which filtered out the actinic rays. Man's life reduced from approximately 1,000 years to 120 years. Those actinic rays are the rays that destroy the tissue of the animal body. Those actinic rays produce fermentation. Noah had made much wine prior to that time. It had no intoxicating effect because there was no fermentation. But with the release of that body of water upon the earth and the possibility of the direct access of the actinic rays of the sun to the earth, fermentation was produced. The tissues of the human body destroyed. The tissues of animal bodies destroyed. And after that, God gave the animals carnivorous appetite. God told man that he was to eat of meat. And the eating of the meat, restoring the tissues of the body, destroyed by the actinic rays of the sun. Now, when God had made the heavens and the earth, or brought order out of the chaos that had been produced, he gathered the waters all together in one place, and the land he gathered together also in one place, so that at the time of the flood, we didn't have the continents and islands of the sea as we now know them. All of the land was in one body. The interesting thing about that is, National Geographic magazine recording and reporting the search and the discovery of the United States Naval resources as they have explored the bottom of the oceans and the seas. National Geographic reported that they have found a range of mountains in the Atlantic Ocean from one end of it to the other, which plainly marks the line of demarcation when the continents were divided. Now, keep in mind that when God Almighty says he's going to regenerate, or calls this period of time the regeneration, the times of the restitution of all things, the prophets are talking about a day when he's going to put the heavens and the earth back like they were. And what we're studying in the Revelation, the breaking of the seals, the blowing of the trumpets, and the pouring out of the vials, are the means whereby God is going to effect that change. Now, after the flood, there is continued to be in one piece. God gave the command to His children upon the earth to stand abroad, possess the whole of the earth. But the children of God chose then as ever to disobey God. They went out to the plains of Shinar. Beautiful place, convenient place. They decided they would settle there, let the rest of the world go. They were interested in their own welfare, their own well-being, not interested in the commandments of God. Settling down on the plains of Shinar to enjoy it and themselves, they decided they'd build a tower that would reach to heaven as a memorial to themselves, so that in ages to come, when anyone said, "What's this?" they said, "Well, that's what the children of God builded there on the plains of Shinar as a memorial." God, looking down from heaven upon that site, wasn't pleased with it. He said, "Go to now. Look what they're doing. Now, having purpose to do that, there's nothing they'll not try to do." That's the course of the history of mankind. There's nothing he'll not attempt except to do the will of God. So he said, "Let's go down, look it over." God left heaven, came down. He said, "Let us," God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, "let us go down and look it over." They came down and looked it over, and God said, I don't like this. They were of one language. They were of one race. They had the whole thing right there. One language, one race, the whole. God didn't like it. So God confounded their tongues. God gave one group certain family characteristics, certain racial characteristics. He gave another group other characteristics, another group other characteristics. And then He scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. And then, according to Genesis 10 and 25, God divided the earth and separated the continents and the islands by waterways. We read in Acts 17, God Almighty made out of one blood many, many nations. And He did that to facilitate their evangelization. All you hear in the ecumenical movement of today is, let's have one church, one country, one people, one race, one this, one that. It was that way once. It was that way once, and God didn't like it, and God changed it. Now, man had better leave it like God Almighty has left it. Just leave it like it is. But God divided them. I was reading the other day, somebody trying to explain how somebody got from Siberia down into New Mexico. They tried to explain how that this poor little mother, with her baby in her arms and part of an animal skin on her, walked thousands of miles across Siberia, across the Bering Straits into Alaska, came on down there and on down into New Mexico and settled there. I can't go into the story just now, but I keep thinking about the little boy that went home from Sunday school, telling his mother what they taught him. She said, "Well, son, you know not a word. That's true." He said, "I know, but you ought to have heard what they told me." And told him something here in the truth of the Word of God. Well, that's the way it is today. Now, they're scattered all over the face of the earth. How did people get in these different remote places? They were there when God divided the earth. That's how they got there. The Word of God tells us, just as plain as can be. Believe the Word of God. Now, God's going to bring the earth back together for the millennium. That's the regeneration. That's the restoration or restitution of all things. He's going to put them back like they were. Now, he's got to put that canopy of water back. Turn back to Zechariah 14 for just a minute. I'll show you the things with which God has to cope. Zechariah, next to the last book in the Old Testament, in chapter 14, talking about the time that the feet of the Lord shall touch the Mount of Olives, and we'll read in verse 5, ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. This is the day of the millennial reign of Christ. The day is not going to be bright, it's not going to be dark. That's going to be when the light's going to be diffused around the world. It shall be one day shall be known unto the Lord, not day, not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Well, there's the way that's going to be. Now, turn back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. If the Lord's going to regenerate this earth, if he's going to restore this earth, if it's going to be comparable to paradise regained, we want to see what's going to happen. In the 11th chapter of Isaiah, where we read in verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. You hear that used oft times about a little child leading some grown man or some grown woman. That's not what it says. He's going to lead a lion or a dog or a bear, not some man or somebody. God gave little children parents to lead them. If you don't know what's wrong with the world today, it's the children leading the parents. Now, they can lead the lions and they can lead the bears and the leopards. Although, well, let's read on. The cow and the bear shall feed, and young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The carnivorous appetite is gone, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. That's like the rattlesnake and the copperhead. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. Well, there you are. There's coming a day when you can play with snakes. But you better leave them alone today. And you better leave that bottle of poison alone. And you better quit trying to play the part of a doctor unless you got a license. Now, just the Word of God. The kingdom. These conditions are going to be produced. Now, how is God going to get that body of water back up into the heavens to provide that canopy which will produce hothouse conditions around the world? It's going to be that way. Well, we read here of a big star. I thought about that a great deal. I've been told that all stars are bigger than the earth, and I just try to imagine what will happen when one three or four times big as this earth hits the earth. But evidently there's some stars that are smaller that the scientists haven't seen yet. There's a big star hitting in the waters, destroying the waters. Something like a huge mountain. And when you talk about huge mountains, I can think of the Rockies, up which I've been, as high as Pike's Peak. I think about the Alps, over which I have flown or was flown. And I think of something like that. On fire, hitting the water. A third of the sea, a third of the rivers, a third of the fountains of waters affected. Here we go. Those balls of fire hitting in the ocean and the seas and the rivers vaporize the water. And the vapor rises upward. I've never wanted to go into any scientific study in detail until I began to study water. And that's one of the most interesting things that I have ever studied that God Almighty has made is the water. The water. A question arose in my mind as I first began to study it. Is any more water in the universe today than when God Almighty created the heavens and the earth? I don't think so. I think it's the same. One of the first axioms I encountered in study of economics and finance in the University of Texas, they quoted Roger Babson, who was a great man back in those days, and he said, "Buy land. There's not going to be any more." And I got to think about it. There's not going to be any more land. There's all the land there is. But now, water, there's not going to be any more water. But I got to think about the water. Falls from heaven, in the rooftop, runs off. Some of it is caught in lakes and basins. Some of it comes from springs. We drink it. We use it for ablutions and baths, bathing. It runs off the buildings. It runs down the street. Accumulates dirt, filth, pollution. Runs into the streams and then on to the river and then into the sea and out into the salt sea and is purified, caught back up into the clouds, brought back over again and dropped. And it just keeps going and going and going. Now, God's got this great body of water that he's going to move from the earth to the heavens. And as you study the breaking of the seals, the blowing of the trumpets, the pouring out of the vials, you see that God Almighty is going to put that body of water back as steam, as vapor. He's going to put these big bodies of fire and heat into the seas, into the rivers and lakes, and that's going up and then up there. Then it liquefies. And once again, this earth is going to be canopied with a body of water. Once again, the actinic rays of the sun are going to be filtered out. Once again, longevity of life granted unto man. Once again, hothouse conditions or the conditions of Eden will prevail upon the earth. Once again, man will eat of the fruit and the vegetables. Once again, the carnivorous appetite of man and beast is gone. Once again, these ideal conditions. Then the Lord comes, sets up his kingdom, establishes his reign, and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. But I find very little written. I've never heard anything spoken on these catastrophic events, cataclysmic upheavals. He's going to put the earth back into one piece, put the canopy of water back up there, produce the conditions as they once were before the flood came. Now, the disciples were wondering among themselves, and possibly even arguing among themselves, as to who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Peter asked the Lord, "Now we have given up everything to follow thee. Now what is there in that for us?" And the Lord says, "For all of you who have given up these things for me, in the regeneration, in the regeneration, you'll have this and you'll have that. It's coming of the day. And I'm going to put conditions back like they were before the flood. Back like they were when Adam and Eve came out of the Garden of Eden. Do that. And in that day and in that place and in that time, you're going to have your rewards. They're coming. I spoke of Noah a while ago. While the actinic rays of the sun were filtered out by the canopy of water above the heavens, no fermentation on the earth. And the wine that Noah made was non-intoxicating. After the flood, when the canopy of water had come down and the sun rays were exposed to the earth, then when he made the wine, that fermented, and it made him drunk. You find no condemnation of Noah for drinking that wine because he didn't know it was intoxicating. Many people get disturbed about the wine that our Lord made at the wedding feast of Cana. That was non-intoxicating wine. And that was wine like we're going to drink in the millennium, which will be non-intoxicating. So, if you have the urge, just remember it's not going to be long till the millennial reign of our Lord, and then you can drink it in abundance without any hangover or any ill effects. But to put conditions back like they were, the Lord's going to have to move. And he's going to shake the heavens, and he's going to shake the earth. And he's going to put things back like they were. There'll be one piece of land inhabited by man. There'll be the one sea surrounding that. There'll be the hothouse conditions prevailing around the earth. North Pole, South Pole, Equator, about the same. Paradise restored, if you accept Milton's definition of paradise. I choose rather to think of the millennial reign of our Lord. Now that's what our Lord is telling us here in the book of the Revelation, and how this is to be accomplished. Now, Brother Wilson, I thought all of that was symbolic. I thought the mountains stood for great national powers. I thought the star stood for some great, powerful man. No, the book of Revelation is not an enigma. The book of Revelation is a revelation, a revealing, an unveiling, a showing forth, a making known. Now, show you one thing in the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter of the Revelation, I'll show you one thing whereby you can tell whether it's literal or symbolic. Verse 8 of the eighth chapter. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain. Hold it. As it were. It doesn't say it was a great mountain. It says, as if it were a great mountain. It doesn't say it was a mountain. As if it were a mountain. We have the same thing on the day of Pentecost, where it says, tongues like as of fire. It did not say tongues of fire came down on Pentecost. And don't you say it did, because it didn't. It was some tongues like fire. And the Revelation shows you when it's symbolic. And otherwise, it's literal. It is an unveiling, a showing forth. Now, when he says, this great star fell from heaven. It was a star. It didn't say like a star. It burned like a lamp. It wasn't a lamp, but it burned like a lamp. So, just watch that and be advised. Be advised. When you study it, and you don't know what it means, and you ask me what it means, I tell you, it means what it says. That's your trouble, and that's my trouble. We don't know what it says. We don't know what the English words mean. And when we read it, we skip two or three of them, and then we are confused. It means what it says. Now, just learn what it says. So, to conclude this, I want to say once again, all of these upheavals, all of these great displays of power of God Almighty, or God Almighty's plans, purposes, ways, means, and methods of restoring the heavens and the earth like they were before the flood, as they will be in the millennial reign of our Lord. Now, once again, I remind you that this is Gideon Sunday. I held out my check. I'm going to put it in the Gideon plate. And You do likewise. It has been said you cannot outgive the Lord. If you had somebody owing you something, don't you wish it was the Lord? He pays greater interest than anybody to whom you can lend. The Lord does. Father, we pray, first of all, that Thou would bless this message to the hearts of this people. Open our hearts and our minds to accept and receive the truth that the book of Revelation speaks of literal things, and that they can believe it, and that these things are going to happen, and that one day we'll see things here as they were in the days before the flood. And then, Father, put on the hearts of this people to give as unto Thee, to the spreading of the Word of God around the world. We ask in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. And you're dismissed.